You're listening to a podcast from Victory. A leader's folly is trusting his own wisdom. Know more about trusting God's wisdom in week 4 of Rise and Fall.
Okay, good evening. Welcome to the 7 p.m. service. And now we're continuing our series on leadership called Rise and Fall. And I would like for us to begin. Medyo meaty tong quote na to from Warren Bennis. If you don't know who Warren Bennis is, he founded the Leadership Institute in a University of Southern California. So medyo bigatin tong taong to when it comes to leadership. And this is what he has to say. He says, humanity currently faces 3 extraordinary threats. The threat of annihilation as a result of nuclear accident or war. 2, the threat of a worldwide plague or ecological catastrophe. And 3, the deepening leadership crisis in most of our institutions. Unlike the possibility of plague or nuclear holocaust, he says, the leadership crisis will probably not become the basis for a bestseller or a blockbuster movie. May nakita na ba kayong pinipilahan na movie, The Leader? Meron na ba? But in many ways, it is the most urgent and dangerous of the threats we face today. If only because it is insufficiently recognized and little understood. In other words, leadership is dangerously important. Leadership is dangerous, period. The world needs leaders. The world looks up to leaders. But who are these leaders? Somebody by the name of Simon Sinek said, every one of us has the capacity to lead. Leader kayo. Leader tayong lahat. We have the capacity to lead. A couple of weeks ago, we said, every one of us, from the most extroverted person you know to the shyest person you know na walang kinakausap na tao, has the ability to influence 10,000 people in their lifetime. Imagine, you can start influencing 10,000 people today. You may already be influencing them today without you realizing it. Every one of us, we can be leaders. So it is our hope during the series that we will have a clear picture of a leader worth following. Not only that, that we will aspire to be a leader worth following. Hindi lang po tayo tagasunod sa mga leader na dapat sundin, pero tayo rin will aspire to be leaders. But you know what? All of us can lead. So this message is for all of us. Today, we're going to look at the life of another king. His name is Solomon. And he was known as Israel's wisest king. Siya pinakamatalino sa kingdom niya. In fact, we could say that he probably could have been one of the few people who has the most wisdom who has ever walked the face of the earth. Siya na siguro yung pinakamatalinong tao na nabuhay ever. And one night, when he was still a young king, God appeared to him in a vision. Said,
Solomon, gising.
May ano na ba sa inyo yan? Natutulog kayo pag yung gising kayo ni Lord?
May sasabihin ako sa'yo.
You know, God asked him a special question. He said,
Solomon, what do you want? What do you really, really want?
Imagine kung ikaw yun, ano sasagot mo? It's in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give you. Siguro for some of us, sasabihin natin agad kay Lord, mga 3 a.m., biglang nag-appear si Lord. Ano? Pera! Money! Please! I want 1 billion pesos, or more power. Gusto ko, pag paglabas ko ng bahay, pwede kong utusan lahat na makita ko. Ikaw, kunin mo to. Ikaw, luto mo akong almusal. Ikaw, kunin mo yung sapatos ko. Hatid mo ako sa trabaho. May power ka. May authority ka. But Solomon did something different. He did something uncommon. And probably none of us will ever think of asking. This is what he asked the Lord. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to govern this, your great people? Verse 10, it pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. Basically, he said, I want an understanding mind, and I want to discern between good and evil. In other versions, it says, understanding heart. In short, Solomon asked for wisdom. Wisdom over money, over power, over authority? Who's this Solomon guy anyway? From what we know, from last week, when we learned about the life of King David, he's the son of David with Bathsheba. Solomon also wrote 3 books in the Bible, the book of Proverbs, the book of Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomon. He was the richest and wisest king. Compare him to all the other kings, siya pinakamayaman, siya pinakamatalino. Not only that, he had military strength. He can defeat armies. He can defeat other kingdoms. He was not only wise, he was not only rich, he was even powerful. He had strength and might. So a mighty king. Nasa kanya na po ang lahat. Siya na ang pinakamagaling. But Solomon, even though he was the wisest of all, may kilala ba kayo na sobrang galing, sobrang talino? Kahit anong itanong nyo, nasasagot? 1 + 1, 2. Galing, ang bilis, 1 second lang. Kaya rin ng anak ko yan. Pero yung mga complicated things, nakita mo tong flower na to, itong arachnea, di ba, galbalba, explain niya sa'yo, ganito, dyan ang galing yan, yung gano'n. Parang, wow, ibang klase yung alam ng mga ng tao na to. It's so great to have this person around with me na explain niya yung mundo sa akin. Meron ba kayong kakilala na ang IQ more than 200? 200 is really exceptional. Pang-alien na po yung ability na yun. Pwede na mag-communicate sa space. Kami ni Pastor Ryan, IQ namin 150. 75 sa kanya, 75 sa akin. So, Solomon was a big deal. But, apparently, even though he was wise, wisdom was not enough. He rose to power like all the other kings we learned about through this series, only to lose what he so worked hard for. So my question for us tonight is wisdom enough to be a great leader? Can a leader just be wise and be successful? What was missing in the leadership life of King Solomon? What did he miss out on? May I ask everyone to stand as we read through God's Word? We're going to read from the book of Kings, chapter 11, verses 1 to 4, and then jump to verses 9 to 11. Let's start with verse 1. Now King Solomon loved many foreign women, along with the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonian, and Hittite women. From the nations concerning which the Lord had said to the people of Israel, you shall not enter into marriage with them, neither shall they with you, for surely they will turn your heart after their gods. Solomon clung to these in love. He had 700 wives who were princesses and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. Verse 4, for when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Verse 9, And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after gods, other gods, but he did not keep what the Lord commanded. You all bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. Lord, as we unpack the life of Solomon, thank you for giving him so much wisdom. But Lord, we pray, God, that you may give that wisdom to us as well. Give us ears to hear. Give us eyes to see. Lord, Holy Spirit, give us wisdom and revelation as we hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Since this has been your practice, God said, and you have not kept my covenant and my statutes that I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom from you and will give it to your servant. God gave Solomon wisdom. He did not ask for money, but the money followed. God gave Solomon great wealth. He did not ask for power, but God gave that as well, authority and dominion. And he had a large kingdom to rule over. Solomon made a decision when God appeared to him in a vision. And good for him, it was a wise decision. It was a good decision. But how many of you realize that all of us make decisions as well? Na-realize niyo ba yan? Some of us make big decisions. Some of us make small decisions. Some of us make life-changing decisions, sometimes on a day-to-day basis. There was a study that says a conscious adult makes 35,000 decisions every single day. For women, maybe 70,000 decisions. Anong kulay ng sapatos susuot ko? Yung black, yung green, yung purple, yung beige, yung taupe? Hindi nila ma-decide anong kulay. What to wear, what to eat, what to take. Shall I take the bus? Shall I take the jeep? Shall I take the tricycle? Mag-Uber na lang ba ako? Mag-grab car? Lalakad na lang kaya ako. Isang kanto lang naman. We make these decisions on a daily basis. Shall I take this job na ang laki ng bayad pero toxic ang trabaho? Mapupuyat ako gabi-gabi. Hindi ako makakawin. Hindi ko makikita pamilya ko. Or itong job na pagkaliit-liit na sweldo pero masaya. Gusto ko yung work. Anong pipiliin ko? Money or fulfillment? Do I ask this person out on a date? Today, tonight, tomorrow, the next day, next week, next month? Sino ba talaga? Si Aid ba? Si Lorna? O si Fe? Ang dami nating ginagawang decisions. Marami tayong choices. And these choices can set the course of our lives. Our choices greatly impact our lives. We need to realize. Because Solomon made that choice to ask God for wisdom. Even though he did not ask for money, God gave him so much wealth. He was the richest king in the land. And God gave him everything else because of that one decision. One of the great things that Solomon did was he chose wisdom over wealth. Wisdom over gaining possessions. And God was pleased. Wisdom is important. We need wisdom to make the right choices in life, whether it's a big choice or it's a little choice. In 1 Kings 3, verse 7, "And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of David my father." This was during the first time God appeared to Solomon in a vision. And he said, "I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. What do I know about being a king, Lord? I need help in what to do." And some of us have come to that point in our lives where we need to make a decision, but we don't know what to do. Some of us may be in that place right now. That we are faced with making a very important decision. But we feel that, I don't know what to do. So this is where wisdom comes in. Because God's wisdom is perfect God's wisdom is good. That's why that's what Solomon asked. We will need to ask God 35,000 times a day to make the right choice. Lalagyan ko ba ng asukal tong kape? Wag na lang. Lagyan ko pa ng gatas? Wag na lang. Lord, okay lang kay Lord yon. Or even for decisions like this. Ako na ka ba? Hashtag Team Ironman? Or hashtag Team Cap? Sino ba dito hashtag Team Ironman? Okay. Sino dito hashtag Team Cap? Sino dito sa inyo hashtag I don't care, Pastor? Okay, mas marami kayo. But looking at these heroes who are in a civil war, our hero for this message is Solomon. He is known as the wise king, but he made bad choices along the way. How can that happen when God already gave him an understanding mind, an understanding heart? How can we make bad choices? And what caused these choices? And what made him fall because of these choices? Remember, we said our choices make an impact in how we live. In 1 Kings 11, verse 2, God reminded Israel, "You shall not enter into marriage with them," he told Solomon. "For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods." God was very clear. Do not marry or make these women your wife. Marami kang pwedeng pagpilian. Kung gusto mo ng maraming wives, sige, papayagan kita. But do not marry them. And that verse also says, Solomon clung to these in love. In love siya. Nabighani siya. And in verse 4 of 1 Kings chapter 11, said, his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God because of this. Solomon started out loving God. Solomon started out using God's wisdom in everything. That's why his kingdom grew, his wealth grew, he grew in stature, in power, in authority, because he was using God's wisdom. And now, you see, he had 700 wives. And the 700 wives were not common women. They were princesses. Mga prinsesa po. Cinderella, si Snow White, si Rapunzel. Ang dami niyang mga asawang prinsesa. Lahat ng Disney princess, si Frozen. You wanna know why? Why did he marry all these princesses? Because he started thinking, you know what? I'm a lover, not a fighter. So instead of going to war with these nations, with Egypt, with the Hittites, the Ammonites, what if I just get one of the king's daughters and marry them so that we will have an alliance? He was thinking strategically. He was thinking, to his mind, wisely and intelligently. Bakit pa ako magkakaroon ng bloodshed, waste people's lives, resources, money, when I can just do this and we will all live in peace and I can get what I need from them, their resources? To his mind, he was being wise. But in reality, Solomon chose to disobey God by relying on his own wisdom. Sometimes we may think the decision that we are making is good. Sometimes we think the decision we're making is the best decision ever. Ito na yon. Ako na pinakamagaling. Naisip ko to. But like Solomon, we can make bad decisions by relying on our own wisdom. What can we learn from Solomon's mistakes? Solomon shifted his devotion from God to something else. I like that song that we were singing a while ago. You are my devotion, Lord. You have my heart. That was probably Solomon's worship song when he started out with God. Lord, you have my heart. You have my devotion. What is this devotion? And where did Solomon's devotion shift to? Devotion is will set your hearts direction. Let me say that again. Your devotion will set your heart's direction. What is devotion? Devotion is something that you love, something that you're loyal to, could be a person or an activity. And this devotion to this person or activity will set your heart's direction. Clearly, when Solomon acquired those wives, those women, 1,000 wives, 1,000. Can you imagine, kung ikaw, wife ka ni Solomon, he will not have time for you. If you want one day with him, makakasama mo siya ngayon, next booking mo 3 years from now. Ganun kadami. Sobrang busy ng... Solomon, gusto kita makita. Asawa mo ko. Magpabuka dun sa EA ko sa 2020. Pwede kita makita. Pwede tayo magkape. Half day lang kasi busy ako. Ganong kadami. He can never even spend a couple of days with the same woman. Because that was what he was loyal to. Acquiring women, acquiring wealth, acquiring power, possessions, dominion. That's what he was loyal to. And that's what his heart's direction was being set. If I ask you today, where is your heart devoted to? The Bible tells us that where your treasure is, that's where your heart is as well. When you wake up in the morning and all you think about is, how can I get more money? How can I enrich my bank account? How can I do this or do that? That's where your heart is set. That's where you are loyal to. And that is what you love. It can be money. It can be people. It can be things. It can be objects. It can even be ministry. You may think that you're doing ministry. Pero hindi mo na nakakausap yung pamilya mo. Ministry ka na ministry. Yung nanay mo, hindi mo na nakakausap. Asawa mo, hindi ka nakilala. Yung mga anak mo, hindi mo na nakikita kasi nagbi-ministry ka. Your devotion is misdirecting your heart's direction. Tim Keller said this about wisdom, the structure of wisdom. He said, the structure of wisdom is whatever your king is, whatever the yoke is, whatever you've given yourself to religiously, meaning what you keep doing again and again every day, will be the thing from which all your wisdom derives or comes from. Whatever it is that you set your heart's devotion to, that's where you will get wisdom, understanding. That's where you will be deciding from. And Keller ends it with this, and it will be, in the end, foolishness. Secondly, Solomon trusted in his own wisdom. That's the mark of his downfall. In verse 3 of chapter 11, 1 Kings, his wives turned away his heart. He thought he was doing something good. He was doing something great. He was doing something wise. But what he did not realize that his decision-making now was based on what his heart was after. The Bible also tells us that Solomon started worshiping other gods, when we all know that our God is a jealous God. How many of you believe that God wants him alone to be worshipped by his people? But Solomon started worshipping other gods because right now, his alliances were more important than his relationship, his alliance with God. And that's what wrong wisdom will do for us and will do to us. We will make bad choices. We will make wrong decisions. What seems right is not right if it's not right in the eyes of God. What seems right for us, in reality, it's not really right. Because God says it's not right. Solomon turned to idolatry. Solomon shifted his devotion to God to other things. And that's not right. It's not wise. There's a proverb that says, there is a way that seems right to a man. There is a thing. There is a path. There is a method. There is a process. When a man sees it, perfect. This is where I should go. This is what I should be doing. This is what I should be spending my whole life with. I should be with this person, si Mr. Right, now. Kasi nandyan siya. And siya na lang yan. Wala nang dadating pa iba. Kaya siya na lang. But the Bible says, in the end, it leads to death. What seems right for us, sometimes, because of our desperation, we don't apply wisdom anymore. Ang laki ng bills ko, ang dami kong babayaran. Uy, may opportunity ditong kumita ng sideline sa trabaho, under the table deal. Sige, patulang ko na, sayang din. Or as a student, you're desperate to pass. Pass college, pass the boards. Magkano ba yung leakage? Biling ko na para matapos na to. Sigurado makakapasa ako. Nahihiya na ako sa parents ko. It seems right at that time, but it will lead to death. For those of you who are married, sometimes it's a good idea to have lunch, dinner with this other person. Nagiging frequent. Before you know it, you've already left your family. May seem wise, but for us, husbands, it's your wife that matters, no other woman. Wives, it's your husband that matters, no other man. For single people, if you're planning to get into a relationship, let me remind you that your first kiss is on the wedding day. Even if you see in the movies, they keep kissing. On TV, all these things, they take casually. It seems right because everybody's doing it. In the end, it will lead to death. Apply wisdom. Use God's wisdom. In Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make straight your paths." You know who wrote the book of Proverbs? Solomon. Isn't it ironic? Solomon should have listened to this as he was writing it. Do not lean on my own understanding. Oh man. But maybe when he wrote this, he already made so many mistakes that he made sure people won't commit the same mistake. We can learn from the mistake of Solomon. Sometimes wisdom looks like this. We trust in the Lord when you don't understand. Sometimes the easy way out is what everyone else tells you. But we trust in the Lord until you do understand. I want to end with this story. Many years ago, one of our pastor's wife was diagnosed with a condition, and it was serious. She had cancer. And it was pretty late when they found out. She was already in stage 4. She was given less than a year. But you would still see her walking, laughing, talking with people, even posting on Facebook and Twitter. There are things that she could not understand in her mind. She would just like to explain away. Why me, Lord? Was I so bad? Was I so evil that I deserved to have this? Using her own wisdom, she could just explain it away, make it go away. But it did not. A couple of weeks before she passed, she posted this. She said, "There are things I don't understand, questions I want to raise. I should know my place and praise you instead. I don't know. But if that's not applying the wisdom of God, the trust in God, I don't know what is. When you're at the point of losing your life, it's hard to trust in God. I'm still young. I'm a mother of two little girls. And you're asking me to leave them, Lord? I have a lot of questions. But I know my place. I will use your wisdom because your wisdom is higher. You are more wise than I am. And I will have peace with that. When human reasoning or popular belief come in conflict with God's word, will you still trust God? Or will you apply the wisdom of the world? What your friends tell you, what your bosses tell you, what other people tell you, what you see on the internet tell you? Or will you trust God until you understand? Can we all bow our heads and pray? Lord, we submit to you tonight. We declare, we say, have your way with us. Have your way in us. Have your way in me. That God, just like the young Solomon asked, give us an understanding mind. Give us an understanding heart. Lord, help us to discern right from wrong, good from evil. Help us not to use what we know, because really, we don't know anything. But God, you know everything. So we want to rely on you in all the choices, in all the decisions that we make and that we need to make. Help us to come to you first. Help us to consult your word. Help us to be surrounded with godly counsel. In Jesus' name. As all heads are bowed, I want to pray for a few groups of people. Maybe you're here right now and you're facing an important decision. I don't know what that decision is. It could be a decision regarding your health. It could be a decision about career. It could be a decision about a relationship. It could be a decision about something else. But it could be big, it could be small, but it's going to affect and alter the course of your life. If you haven't done this yet, I strongly urge you to commit your ways to the Lord, so that He may give you success. Can you all do that? You just take the next few seconds just to commit to God this decision, this big decision that you're about to make. Let's not be indecisive. Let's be in faith that God will give you understanding. God will give you wisdom. God will give you clarity to make the right choice. That takes faith. Because human wisdom, whatever's the easiest, whatever is the least path of resistance, that's what we'll take. But with God, sometimes something we don't understand, sometimes it's something that doesn't make sense. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your grace, Holy Spirit. Another group of people, maybe you're here and you're bothered. Something's eating you up because you made a bad decision. You made a wrong choice. You made a bad move in your life. Maybe it affected someone's life. Maybe it affected people's lives. And you can't live with that. God is telling you, God is a God of second chances. And you can move on. You can have hope. Jesus died for that purpose. That our curses, our sin, will be nailed on that cross with Him. Just surrender it to God. Just go live in peace. There's grace. There's hope. We thank you, God. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.